patriotism, faith, national unity, education, fiscal responsibility, civility, the values that define America. Fascinating stories and talks from America-loving patriots dedicated to preserving freedom, opportunity, and justice. Welcome to the Friends and Fellow Citizens Podcast. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Friends and Fellow Citizens. I'm your host, Sherman Tyloski. Happy President's Day to all of you. I hope that you're having a great long weekend, and I'm so glad you're able to join us today for a special President's Day episode. Today, I've decided to bring back our very first interview guest, Denzel Johnson, back on the show. He's been a very strong supporter since the time I just got started at the drawing board for this, and I'm so glad he's able to make it here and to be able to share with us a little bit about what President's Day means to him, and as well as his top five presidents. I decided that it would be appropriate to not just obviously commemorate the legacy and the life of George Washington, our first president, whose birthday was, I believe, on February 2nd, 22nd, although, you know, because of the change with the Georgia calendar and everything, so it's a bit mixed. But usually we commemorate him on the 22nd of February. However, his birthday also commemorates the presidents entirely, from the very first one all the way to the current one, to the 46th president of Joe Biden. Now, I will also be participating a little bit in terms of my top five presidents, and it should be very interesting to see how much we agree and disagree on what we look for in presidents, because I think this is also one of the great things about President's Day, is that we appreciate the presidents in different ways, and sometimes it's hard to judge certain presidents depending on the context, but I think the appreciation that we all have for the office of the presidency is what really unites us all. So Denzel, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Sherman. It's great to be here.
All righty. Well, I want to kickstart this episode today with just a few basic questions about President's Day, but first really about the office of the presidency, because I think this is something that is often confused with the president, right? There's President Joe Biden, but then there's the President of the United States. So a bit of a distinction there. So what does the office of the President of the United States mean to you as an American citizen?
Well, as an American citizen, I think the office of the president is a very significant aspect of our society. You know, when people think of the president, you know, the President of the United States or the office of the president, there's just this idea of the leader, the center of attention when it comes to the United States and just America abroad. And at least for me, I think it's a very important position that must not be taken lightly. It's a, you know, position of leadership, and you have the ability to influence not just fellow Americans, but people around the world. So it's not just a matter of how your policies are enacted, but also, you know, your perception to the international community.
How influential do you think is it for the president to be able to not just be the president or the leader of his or her own party, but also be a representation of the previous presidents to some degree in terms of the legacy and the traditions that come along with the office?
Well, yeah, you know, I was reading an article the other day, and, you know, it was said that, you know, with previous presidents, you know, and those currently serving, you know, there is some degree of legacy that maintains. With this current president, President Biden, you know, I'm not sure the extent to which some of the legacies and policies of President Trump will remain. However, you know, I think it, you know, like I said earlier, it is a very important role. And, you know, as a president is seeking to be this visionary, seeking to be this person that sets the legacy, you know, it requires them to be able to, you know, work together with Congress and everyone else within the administration, because like we would learn, you know, in graduate school, you know, the president, yes, is the leader of the country, has the face, you know, of America, but, you know, he or she is not the end all be all. You know, we live, you know, we have checks and balances in this country. So president doesn't have all the power.
Right, exactly. Now, on to President's Day specifically, do you celebrate President's Day, and how do you celebrate it every year?
Well, honestly, I don't ever really celebrate it. You know, I know that it comes up, and now being a federal employee, you know, I know that I don't work on that day. But I, you know, when you had sent me an email and asked me to come on the podcast, kind of got me to sit back and think about, you know, our country, the history, the legacy, and, you know, especially with just this new transition, new administration, everything we've been through in 2020, it's kind of, you know, I think it's really important for Americans, and not just Americans, people in the world to sit back and just reflect on this country, on, you know, the very first, you know, president, George Washington, and, you know, kind of ask themselves, like, you know, what would he do if he was here? Or what would he think about the state of our country, you know, because he's known as the founder, right? So it's like, is this what he envisioned, you know, after the American Revolution, right?
Right, exactly. I think the same thing too. When I think of the significance of Washington's farewell address, but also just, you know, how everything that culminated to that speech, to that address to the nation, and not just the nation at the time, but for future generations up until the present day, he wanted to leave that lasting message to people, and not for fame, but because he himself learned a lot about the office of the presidency, even though he was one of the ones who helped establish it, one of the ones who helped create the capacity to be able to influence policy on such a major level. Of course, at that time, U.S. was a lot smaller, but fast forward, 220 years or so, and you're seeing a different world. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of opportunity to be able to reflect on how much the country has progressed, you know, and that's one of the other things that I think is great about President's Day, is thinking about the progress that presidents have made. I've always told people about this, but I believe that every president, regardless of party, regardless of the circumstances, has entered the office trying to make the country better. I just don't believe in this idea that there's this president who goes in the office to destroy the country. It's just such bad rhetoric, I think. And I'm sure that, you know, you'll agree with that too, Denzel, especially as we celebrate President's Day today. I want to now kind of go, before we get into our top five presidents, quick question about kind of what you look for in a president. This differs from person to person. For the purposes of today's episode, what are the things that you were really looking at as you were thinking about your top five presidents?
Well, for me, I look at, for one, the policies that they're planning to enact and the degree to which I think they can actually do what they said they're going to do. And also, I look at their character as well. And I think character is a really, really important aspect of a president. I know that we've had many discussions about this over the last several years about the importance of, you know, being in the office of the president, holding yourself to a higher standard as far as, you know, speech and conduct. So, you know, as far as the character, that's something I really think is important. And I like to find a balance, though, because, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and jump on the train of president who I think is, you know, has, you know, A-plus character just because they're a good person. But, you know, I'm also going to look at, all right, what about their policies? So I think it's important to balance that. And, of course, I mean, when I say balance, you can't really balance that. It's kind of like a compromise. You have to, it's kind of a give and take. You know, it's, you know, what about what you prioritize over other things. And at least for me, since I, you know, me and you, we both have masters in international affairs, like I have a tendency to look at the foreign policy implications of different presidents. So I care about domestic politics, of course, but somebody's gonna have a conversation with me about the president, I'm kind of like, all right, let's talk about national security, defense, foreign affairs. So yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, let's get into it. Denzel, you start first since you're our guest today. So what is your number five president on your list?
So I put President George H.W. Bush, you know, our namesake at the Bush School of Government, Texas A&M. And I really respect him as a president and also as a leader. You know, we saw so much of his character and his the way he was honored, you know, being the namesake of our school.
That's a good choice. What do you think of Bush's performance during Operation Desert Storm, a war that I think was so successful and so challenging to manage at the same time?
It definitely was a very complicated situation. It required, you know, compromise on both sides, you know, in order to build a coalition. So I definitely have respect for him in the sense that he had to really, you know, hearken down and, you know, roll with the punches in building up this coalition to accomplish the mission. So, you know, anything that has happened in the past with respect to U.S. involvement in the Middle East, you know, I think it's always a complicated situation with, you know, as far as sending in troops or executing an objective, you know, whether it's, you know, getting Saddam out of Kuwait or, you know, getting ISIS out of, you know, Iraq and Syria. It's always very difficult to, you know, build a strong coalition that's effective.
Very good. All right. Well, I will start out with my number five, and this might surprise some people here, but the more I read about him, the more interesting he becomes. And that's unfortunately the way things are with some presidents. My number five is Grover Cleveland. I don't say that also just because I grew up in a house next to Cleveland Avenue. There's absolutely no bias whatsoever. But I chose Cleveland because so a bit about Cleveland. So he became president in the election of 1884, and he was being president for one term, and then he ran for re-election in 1888, lost to Benjamin Harrison, who was also the grandson of former President William Henry Harrison. Benjamin Harrison turned out to be a pretty big disaster, and Cleveland was able to get the nomination again from the Democrats, and he won again in 1892. So he is the only president who counts as two presidents, the 22nd and the 24th president. What I like about Cleveland was that not only did he have really good character, he was honest, he was very, very visionary in many ways. He was a Democrat, but he was fiscally conservative. And he also got a lot of support from the Republicans. It's actually really astounding to see how much bipartisan support he got. He was very focused on political reform, especially on corruption, on a spoiled systems sort of epidemic that was going on in the federal government. It really became very bad, especially in times during the Grant administration. But there were a lot of people just telling him, like, you know, you should just fill in all these political appointments with all yes men, right? Because you're president. And he refused to do so. He actually kept a certain many Republicans in the administration because he believed they were effective. And he was strong support of, you know, not having these high tariffs. That he also was very influential in going after, monopolies. Just a lot of very at that time, especially very, very groundbreaking things. Unfortunately, the Panic of 1893, which was the economic depression, really sunk his presidency in many ways. However, despite that, he actually still kept a pretty good profile throughout his presidency. And one thing I really like about Cleveland's support is that he got a lot of support from a wing of the Republican Party, and this wing essentially went with Cleveland because they hated the financial corruption going on with James Blaine, who was a prominent Republican at the time. And these people bucked their party so many times to side with Cleveland because Cleveland really was so focused on this political reform during his administration. So I'm going to say Cleveland because I think he really is one of the unique presidents who was able to get that kind of support, but also have that character to stand on his own two feet and be able to lead the country through some very difficult times, but also some very major reforms. So I would say Cleveland is number five. So Denzel, your turn for number four.
So for number four, I would say President Jimmy Carter. So it's one of the longest living presidents still alive, right? So for me, I think, you know, I saw that, you know, he was really influential because, as I mentioned before, I'm very interested in foreign affairs. So one of the things that comes to mind with as far as President Carter is, you know, everything that was happening in the Middle East, Camp David, of course, but also, and as we have spoke about it before, the Iran hostage crisis. So after the Iranian revolution and just how President Carter was able to, you know, lead the charge and, you know, getting our Americans back safely.
Very good. And what do you think about his post-presidency? I know that we're talking about presidents, you know, in terms of their terms, but, you know, Carter having left office in 1980, which is still kind of hard to believe that it's been 41 years since he left office. But what do you like about Carter, especially when he was after president, you know, with all the work that he's been doing up until even today and into his 90s?
Well, I think he really has a servant heart. You know, I saw that, you know, just a lot of the different things he's been involved with in service and, you know, help philanthropic efforts. You know, this man really embodied, you know, public service as a noble calling, as, you know, which is the model of, you know, our school at, you know, Texas A&M. So I really appreciate that, you know, even in his 90s, you know, he's still out there. He's still working hard. He's still, I think he's bedridden right now. I think he got an injury recently or something like that. But regardless, like, he, you know, he's still out there. He's still working hard. So that's the kind of leader I want to be, you know, when in the future, to, you know, always keep on keeping on and, you know, pressing forward. And even when you're not in a formal office, that, you know, you're always looking to, you know, bring value everywhere you go.
Very true. President Carter can teach us a lot about that. So I want to side on you with that particular point. So I'm going to go to number four for me. And I had a tough time with this one. I don't know why, but I did decided that I got to throw in Abraham Lincoln in here. Lincoln, you know, some people might be surprised that he's not even top three. I think number four is still pretty good, though. I just personally have some other favorites ahead of him. I don't think there's a whole lot to say about why Lincoln is one of my favorites. He won an election when he got less than 40% of the vote. First of all, I think that's pretty extraordinary. In 1860, he won because the Democratic Party couldn't figure out who was going to represent them because they were completely divided on this. Lincoln, you know, had so many, there were so many opportunities where he could have done it the easy way. Like, he could have just said that, you know what, we really don't need to go about through this war and all that. You know, he probably could have gone with the whole rhetoric of, you know, don't incite, you know, war against your own people or something. He could have just gone with that and be safe, like James Buchanan tried to do. But Buchanan, I think, was the one who, in my opinion, was a bit of a coward. I have to say that, because he was so ingrained in the legal stuff that he's like, well, I can't really do anything about it. But Lincoln was like, no, we have to preserve the Union. That was his number one thing. And I think he was absolutely right to do so. And it took very extraordinary circumstances for him to be able to do what he had to do. But nonetheless, I think his courage really has to be admired. There's no way around it. So Honest Abe, Abraham Lincoln, was my number four. Denzel, how about your number three favorite president?
So number three is going to be President Ronald Reagan. And, you know, he's someone that I really always think about, you know, as a, not just a great policymaker, but also just a great person in general. Like I mentioned, you know, I really look at the character of the president as well. And I just think he's an all around, you know, just a great individual. One of the things that I really respected about him was, you know, one of his most significant aspects of his administration, which, you know, was the fall of the Berlin Wall, the collapse of the Soviet Union. So, you know, I think, you know, his instrumental leadership in that was, you know, was just profound for the U.S. and for the whole world. You know, just finally being able to see the, you know, repressive communist era, you know, be turned down.
Now, a few days ago, we lost a really great statesman who was part of the Reagan administration, former Secretary of State George Shultz, who passed away at the age of 100. Pretty remarkable that he's had a very long life of public service. My question, Denzel, is how important do you think it is that a president is able to not only lead an administration, but also just be surrounded by very close advisors, some of whom, many of whom, might even disagree with the president on certain issues. How important is that to you for the president of the United States to consider?
Well, I really like that you mentioned that question. I was actually reading a leadership book earlier today about that, And, you know, I think not even just the president, but for really anyone in a position of leadership, it's really important to have a wise council of advisors around you. You know, like it says in Proverbs, there's wisdom in, you know, many counsel. So I think, like you're mentioning, you know, these people, the president, the leader, you know, in any position, like you have to have people that are able to call you out when you're out of line and to be able to disagree with you and to shed light on a different aspect. And I think for many people who may have been in leadership who have an issue with that, you know, I think that that comes down to pride, you know, thinking that you can do it all on your own and that you're always right. And that's not true. You know, everyone has sees things from a different perspective. So when you're able to, you know, sit down and be like, hey, this is the policy I want to enact. And then your deputy secretary of state's like, no, it's not going to work. And you're like, okay, let's talk about it. You know, just having it, be able to have a dialogue. So I think, yeah, at least for me, I think in the military, they call that redlining. So just being able to have someone, you know, to, you know, poke holes in some of the things that you say or you want to do, and then sitting back and be like, all right, let's improve this. Let's adapt and overcome.
Absolutely. My dad's first ever vote was for Ronald Reagan, and he still remembers that vote. We got to go to the Reagan Library. So, Denzel, if you haven't been to the Reagan Library Museum, definitely should go when things reopen. It's one of the best museums I've ever been to. Not just because it's Ronald Reagan, but because it's such a great quality museum down in Southern California. So, I will go for my number three, which is Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy is, I know that if President Roosevelt was around, he would not like to be called Teddy, but I'm going to call him Teddy anyway, because it's a great name. President Roosevelt, I think, represented a number of different things. First is that, I think it's the environment issue. I think the current climate really, and when I say climate, I mean political climate. The political climate does not allow really for really robust conversation about how to protect the environment. And maybe that was also the case back in those days. But Roosevelt really made that a priority, and he tried to do things that that refocused the conversation, and did not do so in a very radical way that all of a sudden, you know, people are kind of pitted against each other and all that. He really wanted to do make a stand on that. So that's one thing. But the other thing is that he had a very robust foreign policy. When you think about the Panama Canal, the construction of the Panama Canal, how much you can imagine how much of a difference it made on trade, and it really changed the way we looked at ourselves really in the Americas. And he also really believed, most importantly, that you know, the United States was an emerging power, that it was going to be a world power. He truly believed in that. And he decided to do what he could to project force, but not to do so in an imperialist manner, to do so in perhaps in a different manner where America was about influence and inspiration to some degree with our values and principles. It was also about expanding trade, about developing new relations. So this was, of course, in the wake of the Spanish-American War, which really kind of almost opened the floodgates to some degree for America to project itself. And the other thing also is Teddy Roosevelt also was an interesting guy. He ran against his own party in 1912. You know, he kind of trained President Taft a little bit, but Taft did not turn out to be the guy whom he thought he was. And Teddy felt that this was not the way the country was supposed to go, he ran third party from the Bull Moose Party, and he still got a lot of support. He was so popular. I don't think you can really often see how popular a president was other than Teddy Roosevelt. And he also just had a great character, a very adventurous guy, like a rough rider sort of personality. We'll never forget Teddy Roosevelt. So he's one of my favorites, one of my favorite presidents of all time. So he gets number three for me. Okay, Denzel, no, we're almost there to number one, but let's number two, the runner up. What's your number two president?
So I'd say number two is President Abraham Lincoln. I know that you mentioned him earlier, and you know, I really respect him, you know, as a president, as a leader, as a person, because of all the work he did with especially ending slavery, and it's his leadership during the Civil War. So, you know, when I think of, you know, someone that's a great leader, a great statesman, just a great person overall, I think of Abraham Lincoln.
Very good. What is your favorite part of like Lincoln's, you know, a career up to president? Because, you know, he grew up in a very poor household. He was in Illinois politics, which maybe nowadays is perhaps not the best in a political environment you can be for anyone. But he was in Illinois politics against Stephen Douglas. Is there anything about Lincoln's early life that you find really extraordinary about him?
Yeah, I mean, for one, you know, not just his background, but just how he had a persistent character and personality, you know, that he failed multiple times in elections, you know, with state house and Senate, but, you know, he kept on coming back stronger. So, you know, even though, for someone who really felt his call to a political office, you know, that definitely shows it, you know, because maybe after the second, you know, first or second round of losing, you know, I think most people might just be like, okay, it's time to hang up the coat. But he's like, no, I'm called to this. This is what I've been made to do. So, you know, he kept on chugging along, and then he was president.
Well, in the future, we definitely have to do an episode also on like what kind of president would Lincoln would have been after the war. I think that's always been a big question on people's minds when you think about his policies, but also his approach. We're not going to get too much into that, and Denzel, I want to get your quick thoughts on this too. But I think he honestly would have done a pretty good job, because I think he understood, in a way, the power of the federal government. You know, how long he would have, say, you know, put federal troops in the South is kind of unknown, I think he probably had the resolve to do so. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. You know, like you're saying, I think, you know, he was able to, you know, deal with everything going on during the war and, you know, ending slavery. And so in a post-war world, you know, I think he would have the character, tenacity, and due diligence to lead effectively.
For sure. So, all right. Well, my number two is Dwight D. Eisenhower. I did not know a whole lot about Eisenhower when I was younger. I had heard of some things about him, but the more I read about him, the more I'm impressed by who he is. And this is just my opinion, but when it comes to, you know, kind of like the broad bipartisan, you know, support for a president, I think he was the last time we've had a president like that. That kind of desire for both sides to have him as their nominee. You know, a party leader is kind of hard to put it there, because he was very, very bipartisan in so many ways. But Eisenhower was nominated. He decided to join the Republican Party because he liked the foreign policy platform better, and he didn't like the Democrat platform as much when it came to confronting the Soviets. He decided that he also wanted to make sure that, you know, Robert Taft or some other Republicans out there were not going to be isolationists. He really believed that was the wrong way to go. But he could have honestly been nominated. The Democrat Party still would have been as amazing as he was. You think about the interstate system, the ability now for when we go, you go on a family vacation or you go somewhere, you travel on those interstate highways. That was his idea under his administration. Anything about the space race? We were behind, you know, when the Soviets had Sputnik and everything, and he knew that he had to do something about it. You know, the creation of NASA and the space program. His tough stance, early stance, on not just on ideology but on power as well against the Soviets by ramping up our intelligence, which was still in its very early stages, even during the Truman administration. And he, as a, you know, military general, he also had that kind of discipline, the discipline that we like to see with presidents. But I think he also surrounded himself with people who may have differed on his views. He nominated Supreme Court justices that were not, you know, either conservative or liberal. He chose a kind of a bit of a mixture there. Eisenhower, I think, is one of my heroes, one of my military heroes, as well as presidential heroes, and I don't think we'll ever see a man like him anymore. He's just such a unique character himself that he can never be replicated. So I'm going to say Eisenhower is my number two. So now if you do the drum roll here, we'll do our number one president. So Denzel, what is your number one president?
It's going to be President George Washington.
Yeah.
Great nation. The very first American, I would say, first, you know, great American. And as we know, you know, he was, the commander in chief of the Continental Army during the American Revolutionary War, you know, replacing the Articles of Confederation, you know, by drafting the U.S. Constitution. And, you know, these documents that we have today, the U.S. Constitution, you know, with the Bill of Rights, you know, these, you know, embody everything that we do as Americans. It is a guiding force. I mean, we have the Supreme Court, you know, literally, you know, these justices, you know, are, you know, ruling on different laws based on the U.S. Constitution. You know, this is the foundation of our democracy. And you look around the world and, you know, you see, you know, many other different countries who've had several, you know, different constitutions and, you know, revolutions here and there. But as of now, the U.S. Constitution has remained stable and steadfast through it all. So, if it wasn't for his leadership and, you know, leaving, you know, Britain and coming out here to the U.S., you know, we wouldn't be the country we are today. So I would like to know what he would think about just everything that's going on today, you know, how he would be and how would George Washington lead in 2021? That'd be an interesting question I'd have.
Oh, we need to invent a time machine at some point and be able to bring him back to the present day and ask him directly. I'm going to, first of all, just say that my number one is also George Washington. No surprise there. My podcast is named Friends and Fellow Citizens, named after the words of George Washington. So it's no surprise there. And very fitting, Denzel, that our number one president, our list finally converged onto our common number one president. I want to associate myself with your words there on Washington, because he honestly could have had anything he wanted. You know, after the war, there could have been, he could have just said, you know what, we won the war. I was ahead of it. Honestly, there was no one who could really challenge him on a number of things. There were attempts, but they all really failed pretty horribly. And he decided not to do that. And to see that kind of character is really extraordinary. Now, that's not to say that he didn't have political ambitions. I mean, he didn't want to be president, but he certainly wanted to provide direction, and he presided over the Constitutional Convention. But he really did not want to be up at the highest level of office. He maybe just felt that he wasn't there for the job necessarily. He believed that there were maybe some other people who wanted it, who could have done a better job. But even though he didn't want to do it, but he answered the call to public service, and he knew that the country needed a leader, needed to step up. And I think also knew that the administration that he was going to lead is going to be a real test. I mean, there were so many tests there: Whiskey Rebellion, the French and British were kind of at it again to some degree, but then there was the French Revolution that was going on. There was some chaos going on around the world, and he had to really navigate through that. He learned so much. I think he probably would agree that as he was becoming president, he was learning alongside the nation about how to lead a country. And he just embodies so much of what we like to stand for. And he will always be a model. He will always be the man who I think many would say was chosen by God, and I do believe he kind of is, because I don't think there was anybody even as great as a guy like, you know, Jefferson, Adams, really, really smart people, Madison as well. I don't think any of them would have done as good of a job as Washington on this, becoming the first president. I think he established that office, and the people followed him in particular capacity. Really looked up to him and made the office of the presidency to what it is now. So, Denzel, well, we have done our top five presidents. I'm really glad that we did this episode today. I want to give you an opportunity, just, you know, if you have any some final comments about the presidents or about today's episode, I'm certainly going to give you the opportunity to do so. And but I want to say that today really is a special day for myself, yourself, to the fans and the audience of Friends and Fellow Citizens, and to the nation and world. But do you want to have anything to add on before we conclude today's episode?
Yeah, I just want to add, you know, as we were talking about George Washington, one of the things that I felt like he left as a legacy was, you know, in 1783 when he resigned his commission as commander-in-chief. And I think this action was significant in establishing, you know, civilian, you know, rather than military rule, you know, leading to our democracy rather than, you know, dictatorship or monarchy, which we left, you know, we left in Europe. So I think that, you know, that's a really important thing to highlight about George Washington. But as far as everything else that we've been discussing, like I said earlier, you know, I think that President's Day is important. I think that the office of presidency is an important office that should not be taken lightly. And I know that, you know, a lot of people have complained in the past about, you know, why do we have, you know, presidents who are so old, or why they're not 35 like the, you know, the cutoff age is. And I think that, you know, effective leadership comes with time and patience. And I won't say that every single president we had was necessarily extremely effective or, you know, the best president overall. But, you know, I think that, you know, leading such a country like the United States with all its diversity in terms of people, policies, and procedures, and I think it's not something to be taken lightly, not something you can just waltz into. So, you know, I have great respect for anyone, and I mean anyone, who's ever been the president of this great nation.
And a great note to end on our episode today. Denzel, thank you so much for being on the show again. You're the first ever guest, and you will always be in the history books of Friends and Fellow Citizens. I really appreciate you joining me today on this special President's Day episode. And I want to thank all the audience, too, for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. Have a great rest of your President's Day holiday. Have a great rest of your week, and I'll talk to you next time on Friends and Fellow Citizens.